Okay, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Rabbi Yossi. I see Rabbi Green walking in. Rabbi Green, it's always a pleasure to be here in the Kollel. And I also just want to thank the Gals for sponsoring this morning. I like probably most of you, I'm a customer for many years, and it's always it's good to see David here and not in my house. So, Baruch Hashem. So, Kfur in Eretz Yisrael. Why did I pick this topic? So there's two reasons. Reason number one is that when Rabbi Yossi and I were talking about a topic, this happened to be right around Parshas Vayechi a few weeks ago. And of course, we'll get to in a moment Yaakov and Yosef, the request to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the second reason is that tonight begins Rosh Chodesh Shvat. In fact, we know from the Mishnah, beginning of Reseches Rosh Hashanah, according to Beis Shammai, tonight is the Rosh Hashanah. Right, tonight is Aleph Shvat, is the Rosh Hashanah Leilanos. So we don't follow Beis Shammai, we follow Beis Hillel, Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat. But nonetheless, it's hard to tell outside by looking at the weather right now, with the snow coming down. But in Israel right now, this is a time of renewal and rebirth. And we'll see through our learning about Kfura, we don't always associate this, but Kfura we'll see in many ways, and specifically in connection with Eretz Yisrael, is not at all about death, but it's about renewal, and about ultimately Tchias Amazing, coming back to life. So let us begin. I have a source sheet, you have it, you're welcome to follow along, or just to listen. We begin the discussion from Parshas Vayechi, and we know that Yaakov Avinu, just before he passed away, the Torah says, and I'll get back to this at the very end, Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamos, he was getting close to death. He calls Yosef, and he makes Yosef take a shvua, a promise, Asisa imadi chesed the emes, do kindness and truth to me, Anas sikbarini b'mitzrayim. Whatever you do not bury me here in Egypt. Rather, v'shachavti mevosai, rather I want to lie down with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt. He wants to go back to be buried in the Maris HaMachpelah, back in Eretz Yisrael, back in Hebron. Why does he want this? Why is this so important to Yaakov Avinu? So Rashi tells us, and Rashi will see, is quoting the Midrashim and the Gemaras. Rashi says three reasons why he doesn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Source 2, Sofalios Afarakinim. He knew about this past week's Parsha, Vayera. He knew that there was ultimately going to be Eser Makos, and one of the Makos was the Kinim, the lice, all over in the earth, in the ground. He didn't want his body exposed to that. That's reason number one. Number two, She'ein Meisei Chutzlar Etzchayim, Ela Betzar Gilgul Mechilos. We'll have to talk about this a lot, what this means. But he knew that those buried in Chutzlar, it's outside Eretz Yisrael, only come back to life, ultimately time of Tchias Amesim, Betzar. A lot of pain. A lot, Gilgul Mechilos, they're going to be, we'll see what this means, somehow rolling through the ground. He didn't want his body to endure that. And finally, V'shelo yasuni Mitzrayim avodos kochavim. He didn't want the Egyptians to worship him as an avodah zarah. They knew he was a holy man. He didn't want them to worship him as an avodah zarah. It's interesting, in Source 3, there, Rabbeinu Bechaye points out there's really two things that Yaakov is concerned about. There's two requests that he makes. He says, "Bikesh mimenu shnei devarim, shlo yikabrenu b'mitzrayim." The first request is dafka not to be buried in Mitzrayim, right? And then two of the things that Rashi says has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. They have to do with Mitzrayim, right? The Kinim and the Avodah Zarah. And if that was his only concern, lechora you could say, where would he want to be buried? Anywhere but Mitzrayim. You know, what borders Mitzrayim? Libya, Sudan. If you're buried in one of those places, that would be okay. So he wouldn't have to get rid of those two issues. But then, says the Ben Machai, there's a third thing, obviously, that he wanted. And that was Sheik Berenu Eretz Yisrael. He dafka wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Lefisha Avos Tveim Mechabachim Lekivros Eretz Yisrael. It's very beautiful language that the Avos, they desired and they were so much yearned to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Lefishahi Eretz Kedosha, it's the land of Kedosha, land of sanctity. And again, that has to do with the Gilgal, right? That he didn't Dafka. He knew in the future, it doesn't matter whether you're buried in Mitzrayim, in Sudan, in anywhere in the world, there's going to be this Gilgal, this rolling, and that he wanted to avoid. So Yaakov again makes this request from his son, from Yosef, and we know from the Parsha, and from Vayechi, that Yosef fulfills the request. Yosef himself, of course, at the very end of Parshas Vayechi, makes the same request of his brothers, right, that when you finally get out, and we'll see 2 weeks, Parshas B'Shalach, right, that Moshe, all the Jews are collecting, you know, getting all final preparations to leave Mitzrayim, they're collecting all the gold and the silver, and what's Moshe doing? He's collecting the bones of Yosef, because Yosef made his other family promise, V'alisem esas mosai mizeh, take my bones out. Interesting, there's a beautiful Rashi, also with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, Parshas Veschanan, he tells the Jewish people when he's giving his final speech, Ki anochi meit beretz baretz hazos, I'm going to die right here. Moshe is not allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And then Yovera Sayardi, I'm not going to cross over the Jordan. So Rashi, always reading the psukim so carefully, Rashi points out, quotes the Sifri, Ma'acher shemeis mehechan yavor. Like, what's his double lashon? I'm dying in this land, I'm not going to pass over the Yarden. Well, of course, not going to pass over the Yarden if you're dying here. So Rashi says, Ela af atzmosai in Ovrim. Not only am I going to die here in Arvos Moav, on the other side of the Jordan, my bones won't even be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu, at the very least, if he couldn't even cross, at least his body, after he died, he wanted to be buried. But even that was not allowed. Okay. So that's the background, and so we see already from the Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu, this desire and this how important it is to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The question is why? Okay, so we saw Rashi, this notion of Gilgal, but we'll see that, and there's a couple other reasons. So first, there's the Yerushalmi in Kalayim, which talks a lot about this issue, and the Yerushalmi says, source 7, Rishimi ben Lakish Omer. Tomorrow Rosh Chodesh, we're gonna say Hallel. So we say that famous pasuk that I'm gonna walk before God, but Artzos Tachayim, in the land of the living. So we'll skip a couple lines. Shimon ben Lakish, b'shem Bar Kapara, Eretz Shemisa, Mechayim Tchilo Limos Hamashiach. Why is that? He understands this is referring to Eretz Yisrael, and why is Eretz Yisrael called the land of the living? You can live anywhere. You can live here in Detroit. You can live anywhere. Why is Eretz Yisrael the land of the living? It's referring to the future. Because in Yimos HaMashiach, who's going to be resurrected first? Those who are buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the Medrash in Source 8 says the same thing. This is the Medrash in Parshas Vayechi. Rechelbo, Lama, Avos, Mechavibim, Kivuras, Eretz Yisrael. Why do the Avos so much want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? Shemesi Eretz Yisrael, Chaim Tchila, Yimos HaMashiach. That the resurrection will take place first in Eretz Yisrael, for those buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I don't know what this means, but the Eitz Yosef, source on Eitz Yosef, is one of the Mefarshim on the Medrash Rabbah. He has this idea that this period of Tchias HaMesim, Yimos HaMashiach, leading into Tchias HaMesim, he says, how much earlier are they going to be resurrected than those buried somewhere else? So again, I don't know exactly where this comes from, but he says Mem Shana, 40 years. That's a long time. Those buried in Eretz Yisrael would be resurrected 40 years, seems like, before everyone else. Again, everyone agrees with that, I don't know, but just interesting, I just saw that this Eitz Yosef says that. So it's really, it's not talking about a few seconds here, we're talking about perhaps a considerable amount of time. So that's one reason. Tchias HaMesim will occur there first. Of course, we know we also have a Mesorah that even in Eretz Yisrael, there's certain locations. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, right, I think there's a Targum in Shir HaShirim that, based upon the Psukim also in Zechariah, that even in Eretz Yisrael, who are the first that are going to be resurrected in Eretz Yisrael? Those who are buried on Har HaZeisim. Right? Those who are buried on Har HaZeisim, gets a Pasuk in Zechariah, that those will be resurrected first. Just a quick side thing. My nephew was one of the Kedoshim, one of the 42, I forget now how many, in Meiron, who was killed in Meiron. Nebuchadnezzar was killed there. So I never forget that. So that right after my brother got word, so we received a phone call. Someone said that they'll take care of the kefura and they'll bury him in Har HaZeisim. So we'll talk about how much it costs in a moment to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Har HaZeisim is. Let's talk about Klal Yisrael. So someone came to the house, like before they were about to get on the plane, handed them an envelope full of cash, and it was thousands and thousands of dollars to take care of the kvura. My wife and I were in Eretz Yisrael a month or so ago, so we went to his kever. Mama just look into the Har Bayis right there. Mama, you see that's the near the Makon Amigdash, and you're So you see that it's like you're right there. So that's the first place. Again, according to our Masorah, the first place of Tchias Amesim. Okay, so that's the one reason. The other reason that Rashi quotes now back into the source 7, the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi first understands Rish Lakish to saying that Tchias Amesim will only incur in Eretz Yisrael, and that the Gemara cannot accept. The Gemara says, El Miyat Rabbeinu Shabagolav Sido. What's going on here? What about all the tzaddikim and all our bubbies and zaydis who are buried in Europe and here he's frankly buried in Bavel? What, they're not going to get a Tchias Amesim? So that Rish Lakish didn't mean that. No, that only Tchias Amesim takes place in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Rab Simai Machlid Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lifnei Emes Haaretz, that Hashem's going to create tunnels, the whole like subway system. Hashem's going to create the miskalgalos kenudos, and he's going to cause the bodies to roll like in these leather flasks. The kivan shei magiyin la Eretz Yisrael, and once then the bodies, the physical bodies reach Eretz Yisrael, nafshan chozros aleihem, then the neshamos will come back, the bodies will come back to life, right? The nevuah of Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Zayin, of the bodies, dead bones coming back to life. Again, he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel that emphasizes that idea. The Medrash Rabbah, again, bottom of Source 8, says a simile. Arm of Simon, imkein of Sido, tzadikim, shein kavurim, bechutzaretz. So what happens to all the people buried in chutzaretz? Rather, no, Kosh Baruch Hu, what's Hashem going to do in the future? Also, mechilos, ba'aretz, also, son, kema'aretz, halalo, ve'miskalgin, bon, anshi, magin, la'aretz Yisrael, v'akadosh Baruch Hu, nosim, ben ruach, shalchayim, ve'him omdim. Interestingly, great, according to the Medrash, according to the Yerushalmi, the body's going to roll, but they're not going to be brought back to life in the chutzar. It's only going to be brought back to life in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, that's when the bodies will be brought there, and then there'll be the Tchias HaMesem. It's interesting, now if you look in the Bavli, the Gemara in Ksuvis, this Gemara in Ksuvis is, the end of Ksuvis is the Gemara that talks so beautifully about Eretz Yisrael, about how important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael and have a connection to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara here says, and talks about the future. The Gemara, Reb Lazar made a wild statement. The Gemara is now coming back to Reb Lazar, tzaddikim shebechutz la'aretz ein chayim. Reb Lazar made a statement that sounded like that those buried outside of Eretz Yisrael will not have tchias amesim. The Gemara again can't accept that's true. So I'm Reb Yulai. No, of course there'll be tchias amesim. No matter where you're, it doesn't matter where you're buried, but be ayde gilgal. But there'll be this rolling. So maskeflor Reb Abba Salar Rabba gilgal tzaddikim sarhu. The Gemara can't accept that. This is different than the Yerushalmi. It's very interesting. The Gemara says, that one second, our Babis and our Zaydis, all the great Tamina Chachamim, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Gaonim, all, they're going to have to suffer during Tchias HaMesim just because they're buried outside of Eretz Yisrael? So listen to what the Gemara says. Again, Rashi does not quote, Rashi seems to be quoting, in Chumash, seems to be quoting the Yerushalmi. But you see, the Bavli has a different understanding of what's going to happen. Amar Abaye, Mechilos Naslon Bakarka. Now Hashem's going to make these tunnels. He's going to create again a subway system. Nesasani Mitzrayim v'sani b'shur asam. Right? And again, Yaakov, they made this request, right? Take me out of Mitzrayim and bury me over there. So Amar Karna, Dvarim Bago. It's hard to understand what exactly is happening here. So Yodea sees that they explain. Yodea haya Yaakov avinu. Yaakov knew. Yaakov knew. Shitzadik gomer haya. Yaakov knew he was a tzadik. He knew he was a tzadik gomer. The mission should be chutzav la'aretz chayim la'mitriach espanav. So one second, if he was such a tzaddik, and he knew that he would come back to life in chutz la'aretz, right? Listen, not in Eretz Yisrael, in chutz la'aretz he would come back to life. So why do you make his Yosef? You know, it was a very difficult Yosef to make this request to Paro, and it was a whole to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why was he matriach them to do that? So says the Gemara, Shema lo yiska l'mechilos. Because he was concerned that how much of a tzaddik am I? We see this often. Chazal have like Rav Yochum and Zakkai. He was crying and he's dying. He doesn't know what's going to be. Like Rav Yochum and Zakkai, if he's concerned, how much should we be concerned? But like tzaddikim, we don't know how Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us. So Yaakov was concerned that he wouldn't get the mechilos, the tunnels. I'll explain in a second. Kiyotzi b'davar at Omer v'yishba Yosef as bana b'nei Yisrael, and Yosef also made the family swear to take him out of Mitzrayim. So the Gemara wants to know what's, but he's going to get tchias amesim chotzaritz. So what's the issue? So he said, no, Shem lo yiskel mechilos. Maybe he's not going to get the tunnel. So Rashi explains what's happening here. It's interesting. Rashi here in the Bavli is different than Rashi in Chumash, the way he understands this. So look at Rashi, source 11. Ayde Gilgal. Megalgulin hatsomos ad Eretz Yisrael v'chayim sham. So the Gemara says the Gilgal initially is that, again, like we saw initially, like the Yerushalmi. Bodies are going to roll, and then the Tchias HaMesim will happen in Eretz Yisrael. But then the Gemara says, no, tzaddikim are different. Mechilos naslam bekarka, v'ondim al ragleim. What's going to happen to the tzaddikim? Hashem's going to make tunnels for the tzaddikim, big tunnels. And they're going to stand up wherever they are in Eastern Europe, in Bavel, wherever they are, in America. V'holchim b'mechilos, ad Eretz Yisrael. V'sham mafetzin v'yotzin. And then they're going to sort of dig themselves out and get out. In other words, you can use like the airport as an imagery, right? You know, in the airport they have the moving walkway. So it sounds like the tzaddikim, gemurim, are going to get the moving walkway, right? It's not like you're going to get like the Delta lounge. Like if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're in the lounge. So like everything is like, you know, gevaldik, wonderful there. There's drinks there and everything's great. If you're in Chutzaritz and you're a tzaddik gemur, the chuyit tchiyos amesim is going to happen is that there's going to be these big tunnels and you'll stand up. And again, there'll be the moving walkway, and you got your luggage on the side, and they'll take. For everyone else, they're gonna have to, you know, carry the luggage. You know, everyone else is gonna have to, they don't get the moving walkways out of order, so it's gonna be a big schlep and difficult. And when they get there at Yisrael, so then the neshamas will come back to life. So again, it's just different than the Yerushalmi has it. But Yaakov was concerned, and Yaakov and the Tzidkis said, oh, maybe I'm not deserving of the moving walkway. It's interesting. The different approaches. So in source 12, the Ben Yoyada is a beautiful insight from the Chassam Sofer. Who's the Ben Yoyada? The Ben Yishchai lived in the 1800s. Died in the early 1900s. It lived in Baghdad, right? In Baghdad. I have an uncle. He was a Rebbe of mine, and I learned in Kerem Yavne there at Israel. So he told about my other uncle. I have another my aunt. Married a Sephardi Rav and lives in Bat Yam. His family's from Iraq. And like everything in the house is you know, you always know where someone learns, you know. You see the pictures of Rosh Hashiva and around, you know that's what they learned. So my uncle's house, it's all pictures of the Ben Yishchai. And Ben Yishchai was a prolific writer, 40 Svarim. And so my uncle, who's my Ashkenazic uncle from my Rebbe in Kerem Yam, he said, we don't appreciate this. He said, the way Ashkenazim viewed the Vilna Gaon, that's how Sfardim viewed the Ben Yishchai. That was, you know, the godless of the Ben Yishchai. So the Ben Yishchai here, he's calling the Chassam Sofer. It's interesting. He's living in Baghdad. He's calling the Chassam Sofer, and he says beautifully. He says when it comes to davening and to benching, right? We say this expression, "Kami Musli Artzenu." We say this in Avarab, Avos Olam, and we say this in benching. That we should go upright to your land. So usually I always assume upright to the land, and we'll see this in a moment, is that we're talking about Kfura in Eretz Yisrael, but maybe ideally we should move to Eretz Yisrael while we're alive, right? That's upright. But the Ben Yishchai has a different level of interpretation. He says the upright is even those who are buried in Chutzlaritz, you hope that you'll be able to be Zochet to walk, to take the moving walkway. That's the Kelmi Milsi Artseino. That you won't be there. It's a beautiful luck. So interesting. Again, he's quoting the Chassam Sofer says that you shouldn't be the Gilgal, but you should have been someone who's Zocha to be able to walk, you know, through the tunnels to Eretz Yisrael during the time of Tchias HaMesim. Okay, so now we have two reasons. Two reasons for Kfur in Eretz Yisrael. Number one is that on some level, Tchias HaMesim will occur first in Eretz Yisrael. And number two now is this tsar that maybe the bodies will experience during the time of Tchias HaMesim, and that can be avoided if you're buried in Eretz Yisrael. The third reason, the Gemara, source 13, is Gemara that same Gemara in Ksuvis, Amar Vanan called cover Eretz Yisrael kilu cover tachas hamizbeach. Whoa! If you're buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you're buried under the mizbeach. What does it mean? Buried? We don't bury bodies under the mizbeach. You know, it's not allowed to bury bodies under the mizbeach. You can't have tumah in the tumas mace in that area of the base of Megdash. So what does it mean homiletically? Ksif hacham is beach adma tasali. That's pasuk regarding the mizbeach. Uksif hasam, and it says at the very end of the Ashira Sazinu, v'chiper ad maso amo. That the way the Gemara is understanding this pasuk is that the adama will be mechaper. That the adama, the earth of Eretz Yisrael, will bring about a kapara. So being buried in Eretz Yisrael will bring about a kapara for any reason we need any kapara atonement. The adama itself will bring that kapara. So the Gemara then, so to what extent do you get a kapara? So it's going to be a little discussion right now. So Ula, we're also saying very beautiful about Ula. Ula havi ragil, the have a sakla Eretz Yisrael. Rav Ula was always going back and forth. He was a big traveler, always going from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And during one of his travels, he died in Chutz Lartz. So also Amru Lei le Rabbi Elazar. So they told Rabbi Elazar that Ula died. Amr Ant Ula al Dama Temeya Thomas. So Rabbi Elazar said, "I Ula, you died on Eretz Temeya. You died on impure ground." Amru Lo, but they said to Rabbi Elazar, "Don't be so sad that he died in this impure land in Bavel." Aronoba, no, they're bringing his coffin to Eretz Yisrael. Amr Lahem, so Rabbi Elazar said back, "Okay, that's nice that they're burying him in Eretz Yisrael, but Ein Adome Kolto Mechayim LaKolto Sola Achamisa. You can't compare being gathered in while you're alive to being gathered in when you're dead. In other words, maybe it's not a bad thing to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but what's much better? To go there when you're alive. That is certainly says much much better." And by the way, I've heard stories, maybe you have also, that back in the day, you know, people would do this. People would actually would travel to Eretz Yisrael, and then when their life was coming to the end, they wanted to be buried there. They would go there to die and to be buried there. And again, especially, you know, today, you know, very different with air travel, but you know, 100 years ago, whatever it is, more. How likely was it for someone to be taken to Eretz Yisrael to be buried? So if someone really wanted that, you had to travel there to die to go. So again, the Gemara is saying that better to be there when you're alive than to go there, you know, already after, you know, you've died. The Yerushalmi also talks about Ula, and the Yerushalmi says Ula Nechusa, very interesting word. It says Ula, the one who goes down. He was called the one who goes down. Says the Pnei Moshe on the side, one of the commentaries on the Yerushalmi. Why is he called the one who goes down? Hashem Shahayir Ragil Leilach Liyar Mi Eretz Yisrael LeBavel, because he was always traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. See in a second why he was always traveling. That's why he said he was going down. So Hava Anmin Taman. He was and he was dying there. He was in Chutz Laretz in Bavel, and Nebuch, he got sick and he was dying. Shari Ben, he's crying. Right, the Bavli story is that he's already died, and Rabbi Elazar is now saying, "Oh, terrible is that he died in Chutz Laretz." Here in the Yerushalmi, the story is that he himself was crying as he was dying in Bavel. Aminim le malacha bechli. He said, "Why are you crying?" They understood he was upset that he was not going to be, that he was dying and wouldn't be, you know, and he was concerned about being buried in Eretz Yisrael. He said, "Don't worry, we'll bury you in Eretz Yisrael. Don't cry." So Amalon Mahanyali Anna Mocher Margiliso Gav Ara Masavasa Lodoma Pulta Bechek Imo Lapulta Bechek Nachria. Very poetic language. Basically, same idea. It's much better to be buried, to be alive in Eretz Yisrael and die there than to die elsewhere and to be brought in. Ben Yoyada, source 17, again the Ben Ishchai. He just says, why was he always going down to Bavel? And why was he so crying? Like, why was he all upset? But lots of people, you know, Ben Yehuda says, lots of people at one point live in Eretz Yisrael, then they move, and then they die. It happens. So he says, you know why he was so upset? Because why was he always going to Bavel? Because Kimitzion Teisei Torah Dvar Hashem Yushalayim. He wanted to spread the Torah of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. So but his whole life was Eretz Yisrael. And his whole life was the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. And so for him to dafka, to die in Chutz Laretz, again, he traveled there all the time, but he was rooted in Eretz Yisrael, so that's why he was so distraught over the fact that he was dying there. But again, it sounds like from these Gemaras that, again, on some level there's a kapara to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not the same as actually living in Eretz Yisrael. And the back to the Shalmi in source 17, The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Vata pachshor v'chol yoshev beischa telchu b'shevi u'beval tavo v'sham tamus v'sham tikaver. Right, Yirmiyahu is saying you're all, you know, because of your sins, you're going to go off into captivity, and there you're going to die, and there you're going to be buried. Like not only are you going to die in the Gullus, but you're going to be buried there too. So Rav Abba bar Zamna, Amar Rav Chalbo, Rav Chama bar Chanina, Chad Amar Meisham Nikavir Sham. Right, two things against you. You die there and you're buried there. No good. Yesh biyado shtayim, meisham v'nikaver kan, yesh biyado achas. Not as bad if you die there, but if you at least get buried here, there's you still get one curse, the fact that you died there. You shouldn't be, you know, how terrible it is to be living outside of Eretz Yisrael, but at least, okay, at least you get buried here. Charna Omar, but another approach says, k'vur shebekan mechaperes amisa shelahem. As the Gemara has machlokas, is what happens if you lived your whole life in outside of Eretz Yisrael, but you're buried there. Is that good or not? Is that does the kapara work? So the first opinion is that that's not so great because he really should have been living in Eretz Yisrael. But this last approach is no. The fact that you get buried here, that gives a kapara. Even though you died outside of Eretz Yisrael, you get a kapara if you're buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So not as good as living here, but not on some level, according to the second approach, at least you get some kapara. Now, let's take a quick pause. We're mentioning about, you know, living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara spends a lot of time, the Gemara and the Ksuvah, talking about how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is. And I always also like to point this out. You know, we live in a day and age, you know, where there's like a state of Israel and there's politics and there's good things and not great things. And, like, it often clouds our vision as, like, you know, sometimes we need to separate, you know, some of the things that are always not so wonderful with the fact that it's still Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos, has a whole discussion, the famous discussion about the Shalosh Shvuos, and whether you're allowed nowadays to go back in mass to Eretz Yisrael to create a government. So that's a whole another discussion. But the Gemara makes it clear that for a Yachid, certainly to live in Eretz Yisrael, in every door is that's the ideal. And we know that tzaddikim throughout the Doros went to Eretz Yisrael. Yosef Cairo, the Rambam, you know, spent, everyone knows he was born in Spain and he died and spends most of his second half of his life in Egypt. But we also know that he spent a number of months in Eretz Yisrael when he was fleeing from Spain and North Africa. And the only reason why he left, why did he leave Eretz Yisrael? Because what was his mazel? When he arrived in Eretz Yisrael around 1165, right? He lived from 1138 to 1204. What was his mazel? What was going on 1165 in Eretz Yisrael? The Crusaders. He talks out. He tells we have this in a couple of places that he arrived in Eretz Yisrael in Iyar. I think it was in Iyar. Iyar or the beginning of Sivan, and he arrives in Akko, and he made a big seuda. He arrived in Eretz Yisrael. He's with his family. He says, and then in Cheshvan, he makes his way to Yerushalayim under great sakana. So it's always an amazing thing. Wait, it took him 4 or 5 months to get to Yerushalayim. Today, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you live in Ben Gurion, right? You go through customs, you get your luggage. You're in Yerushalayim, how long? Do a couple hours, and then you get the train. It takes you 20 minutes. You take the train now. You're at the Kotel, you know, 10 minutes later. You're there in a couple hours. What's wrong taking 5 hours to get to Yerushalayim? And he says he goes to Yerushalayim, and he goes to the Makom HaMikdash, and he davens there. A few days later, he then, probably the most beautiful line you've heard anyone ever write in the history of the Jewish world, he says he goes to Chevron, and he goes to Maris HaMachpelah. What was he doing in Maris HaMachpelah? He kissed the Avos when he got to Maris HaMachpelah. So what takes him so long? What takes him so long is that it was Sakana. It was the time of the Crusades, so he couldn't stay in Eretz Yisrael, so Nebuch had to leave. And we know many of the Bali Atosos went, and throughout the Doros, again, we know in the 1500s what was going on in Tzfas, and unbelievable. So I'm not going to read it through now because of time, but source 18 is the very famous and interesting Gemara about the debate between the husband and wife. Right, one wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, one doesn't. Right, you know, one day the husband wakes up one day and says, "I'm going to Eretz Yisrael." The wife says, "What are you talking about? Right, the grandkids, everyone's living here, you know, the family and my friends." He says, "I'm going." So what happens if she refuses? So the Gemara says, right, famously says that he can divorce and doesn't have to give the ksuva. And then the opposite, if she decides she wants to go to Eretz Yisrael and he refuses, so she can demand a divorce and she gets the ksuba. So the Gemara is just emphasizing, you know, how important it is, you know, to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's a fascinating Tosos number 19. Tosos says, so why aren't people going to Eretz Yisrael? Fascinating Tosos. Why aren't people going to Eretz Yisrael? So he's ain't a noig bisman hazeh. He just doesn't apply nowadays. Now again, when did Tosos live? When did Tosos write? During the Crusades. Again, Tosos were living during the, you know, Rabbeinu Tam lived this mamish terrible. The second Crusades was horrible for the Jewish community in France, Germany. And so he says two reasons why you don't have to go nowadays. Number is because sakanas drachim, it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. So it's interesting that reason. It's hard pressed to say that's a reason nowadays. You know, the Israelis, they all think we're crazy living here. They see the news, they see what happened last night in L.A. Like, you live in a war zone in America. What are you guys doing here? They think we're nuts living here. So we watch the news there. We see once in a while something happen. You think, oh, it's dangerous there. You know, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's like, mamash, it's you're alive there. It's unbelievable. So whatever. But Tosos really, there really was a sakana for that time to travel. And number two, he quotes Rabbeinu Chaim. Who's Rabbeinu Chaim? Rabbeinu Chaim is not Rabbeinu Chaim Soloveitchik. Rabbeinu Chaim is one of the Balei Tosfos. And Rabbeinu Chaim says, Achshav eino mitzvah lador Eretz Yisrael ki yesh kama mitzvos hatluyos baretz. It's too difficult nowadays. Shemitah, right, and the Trumas and Maestros. So just a quick side point. We know Reb Chaim, this Reb Chaim, you know who he is. You know one of his students was Reb Shimshon. And we know in the yeshivas, in the kollel, they know him as Tosos Mishantz. And in the academic world, they call him Samson of Sens. He made Aliyah. There's 300 Bali Tosos. They made it Eretz Yisrael. What's so interesting is that there's this Professor Auerbach, I think it was in Hebrew University, who studied the Bali Tosos. He's like the work out on the Bali Tosos. He points out that the Tosos Mishantz has a Perush. You look in the Mishnayos, on the Mishnayos, the Rash, Reishin, that's Reb Shimon. It's on Zrayim, because he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and basically he showed, you can figure it out. You can figure out Shemitah, you can figure out the Trumas and Maaseros, you can make it work. So the Rebbe was concerned, and he showed how it can work. So it's just interesting. Okay, so again, that's the whole thing, just again, perspective in terms of living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so now we have three reasons to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Reason number one is that's the first of Tchias HaMesem. Reason number two is that the void, the Gilgal, the rolling. And now reason number three is the Kapara. What would be reason not to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So source 20 is the Sefer Hasidim. So the Sefer Hasidim just says in general, he says, and this can be buried anywhere, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz, doesn't matter. It is a chus for the neshamas, for the mesim, that their relatives go to the kever. You visit the kever and you daven there, and you daven, and there's a chus that things should be good for you, and that their neshama should be in the right place. It's a beautiful thing. So if the whole family is living, you know, in Chutz Laaretz, you go there as well, they're not going to get that. Now, I'll just say, I tell my Baal Batim all the time, you know, like, Baruch Hashem, here in Detroit, things are wonderful and beautiful, but I guarantee you, the Jewish world will not be here forever in Detroit. I don't know when it will, we won't be here. At some point, we're not going to be here. I got news for you. Lakewood is not going to exist forever. Muncie is not going to exist forever. Chicago, none of these communities exist. How do I know that? Because look at Baghdad, look at Vilna, look at everyone else. There's only one future. The one future is that's where Eretz Yisrael. Right? And even today, right, a lot of the kids, you know, they go and they move to Eretz Yisrael, and they go there for kollel, and they stay. You know, this argument that you want your relatives to visit you, you know, especially in today's day and age. It's not so much of a guarantee that's because you're buried outside of Chutz Laaretz that this is where the family is going to visit you. Because a lot of your family, if they're not living there, they're visiting there all the time. So it's just interesting. You know, this reason is, again, for some people, it is very much noeg. But in terms of the future, where we're headed, one can make the good argument that Eretz Yisrael is, if you want people to visit you, that Eretz Yisrael will be the place to be buried. Okay, but then there's a very strong reason, perhaps, not to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The question is whether we paskin like this. Back to the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi tells the following story. Rabbi Bar Kirov, Rabbi Lazar, Havin Matalyan Beisterin. That these two Rabbanim, they were walking on the highway, and they're in Eretz Yisrael, and Ro'a Rono, show you Boim Mechutzlords. They see the El Al planes landing at the airport, and they're taking the coffins, the caskets, out of the plane. Amar Rabbi Bar Kirov. So Rabbi Bar Kirov says, Rabbi Blazer, what's going on here? Maho Ilu Elu, how's this helping them? Ani Korea Leam. He says, I quote a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, "V'nachlasi samtim l'toiva b'chayem." You viewed, God says, you viewed my inheritance being Eretz Yisrael, as a toiva, as an abomination in your lives, because you're living in Chutz Laaretz. Why weren't you here in Eretz Yisrael? V'tavo v'titmu es artsi b'misaston. And now you're coming. You didn't care about Eretz Yisrael while you're alive, and now you come to be metameit, but bringing your dead body here. Like, what are you doing? So he was very harif. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar was not so happy that he was so strong. So Amar Lei, Kivan Shem Agiyin Lo Eretz Yisrael. No, calm down. Once their bodies come to Eretz Yisrael, he nolin gush afar. What we do, we place some earth of Eretz Yisrael upon their casket. Menichan al aronon, tuchsi v'kiper masoamo. They got a kapara, even from coming to Eretz Yisrael. By the way, in Source 25, the Ramah says this is the source of the minug, that even in Chutz Laaretz, when someone dies, we put some earth of Eretz Yisrael in the casket. It comes from this Yerushalmi. Putting the earth is being some sort of kapara. Now some question this, because it sounds like it only works in Eretz Yisrael, not if you're buried in Chutz Laaretz. But I'll show you a second in a few moments when we finish up. It maybe even works in Chutz Laaretz. But you have this tension, and the Medrash also has a tension. And interestingly, the Medrash quotes that the same type of back and forth between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar. So Rebbe Yehuda Anasi took the position of this Rebbe Bar Kira, who was very opposed to people coming to Eretz Yisrael after they died. You didn't care about it. You could have come when you're alive. You didn't show up when you're alive, and now you're showing up. You mean the time of the arts? So Rebbe was very, also thought it was wrong, and Rebbe Eliezer also is the one to say, no, there's a kapara. How do we paskin? Bottom line, good thing, not a good thing. The Rambam says it's a very good thing. The Rambam, Source 24, by the way, where's the Rambam buried? He's buried in Eretz Yisrael. We don't know how he got to Eretz Yisrael. There's no, because we know he lived the last half of his life in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. So did he go back before he died? Was his Aram? Apparently, there's no like sources. But we have a Masorah that he's buried, and the Masorah goes way back. The Masorah goes back. There's already evidence of, I don't know, within 100 years after he died that he's in Tveria. So it goes way back, the Masorah that he's buried there. So in any event, it says the Rambam. First, he talks about how wonderful it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. You get your sins forgiven when you live in Eretz Yisrael. But then he says, "B'chol kaver, whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael, the scapper lo is atoned for." U'ki'ilu ha'makom shubo mizbeach kapara. Because if it's again, you're buried on the mizbeach, you get a kapara. The Eino Doma, he points out again, you can't compare someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael to someone who died outside and was brought there. The afal pi came, but nonetheless, gedolei hachachamim hayu molichen es miseim l'sham. We see throughout the Doros that great people, they brought their bodies to Eretz Yisrael to be buried there. Say l'mad. Well, look forward to a Pesach, to the Seder. Say l'mad, go out and learn. Me'yakov avinu v'yosef atzadik. To where we started. Look, Yaakov and Yosef, they even died there, and yet they brought there, and you see how wonderful it is. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk directly about this, but indirectly talks about it, because he talks about reinterments. It's all a question about reinterments. So generally, we try to avoid reinterments, but one of the exceptions the Shulchan Aruch brings down is for Eretz Yisrael. Right? If someone wanted to be reinterred and to be brought to Eretz Yisrael, so that's one time that we would sanction and be in favor of reinterment. In Source 26, not going to be inside because of time, the Mahar Bach. Mahar Bach lived in Eretz Yisrael in the 1500s. He was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. Like during the time when the heyday of Tzfas, he was like the rabbi sort of holding down the fort to the few Jews who were living in Yerushalayim. And there was a shaila that there was some rav, some Talmid Chacham, who died in Chutz Laaretz. And apparently never had a tzava, never had a will, never said, what should do, where he should be buried. And apparently the children are having a whole to-do, should we not? And the shaila came to the Marabach. And he basically says, bottom line, you look at the Torah, and you look at the Gemara, the Midrash, and they all say it's a good thing to be buried in Eretz Yisrael for the reasons that we mentioned. I, Rebbe Bar Kiria, and Rebbe, who are not opposed, so he points out that, okay, that they had their they thought it wasn't right, you know, you're coming to Mitami the land, but nonetheless, he says, Lo Chashinan, we see, just historically, we're not Choshes for that. That you're coming to me with Tommy the Aretz. He says, Lo Chashinan. I guess it's better to live in Eretz Yisrael, but we're not concerned. Now, interesting, source 27 is Chuvas van Hagos. Who's Chuvas van Hagos? Rav Sternbach. Should be well, Rav Sternbach. He lives in Harnof, runs the head of the Eda Charedis. I used to have this chus to daven in a shul. He's the Grosh shul in Harnof, because I have this uncle I mentioned before, who's my Rebbe, lives in Harnof, lives right next door to the shul. So Rav Sternbach quotes this Marabach. And Rav Sternbach is not so sure that we always should encourage burial in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, in very strong terms, he says he thinks it depends whether or not a person really cared to be in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Zet tali im emes ubetamim hishtokik b'chayev. The person really desired when they were alive, Linsola, to travel to Eretz Yisrael. And maybe then us, maybe you just couldn't. Why couldn't you travel to Eretz Yisrael? Whatever, you had some health issues, there was parnas issues, there was family. Like, you really wanted to go, but listen, we all have reasons why we can't. But really, emes, we want to live there. But if you're someone who has zero interest in living in Eretz Yisrael, you like your house here and your car, and you no desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't think at that point that's really so. And he goes even further, from a halachic perspective. He goes, anyone here a Kohen? You're compromising life for the Kohanim, because when they go on the plane to Eretz Yisrael, they got to always have to figure out where that, we know the whole shaila about the Aranos. He goes, better to be buried in Chutzlarts. That's Sternbach's position. Finishing up, just outside, Rav Moshe had a very interesting tshuva about Moses Montefiore. There was a time where apparently there was, I don't know if this ever happened or not, but there was a movement. Some people wanted to move his body, him and his wife, and to bury them in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Moshe was against it because he said, number one, he goes, what, we bury him and we don't move the grave, we don't move, like, there's so many other, you know, tzaddikim that why are we dafka moving, you know, he's a fine person, but, you know, he did a lot for the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but why not all these other people? I said, the number two, he never expressed a desire to be buried there. He certainly had the money to be buried there, and so he thought that it wasn't right to move his body into to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. On the other opposite extreme is Via Omer, so Rav Adi Yosef was a big proponent of Kfura in Eretz Yisrael. This is just a small part of a more lengthier tshuva in Source 29, where he very much says how important it is. The shaila he was asked was regarding Nebuch, a woman who was single, an older woman who never got married, and she was visiting Eretz Yisrael, and she had some hearts on issues. She passed away in Eretz Yisrael. And so they were going to bury her in Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden she has a sister somewhere back in America who was very upset. She said, no, like, you know, the whole family is buried in America, her parents. She said she and her sister would visit the parents to say Tehillim there, and, you know, we want to be buried next to her parents. That's where I'm going to be buried, the sister said. And Rav Adi Yosef was very against moving her. He said, no, you know, even she expressed an interest to be buried in Chutz Lartz. Now she knows, now she's in Olam HaEmes, she knows the value of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, being near the Shechina. And he says, you know, all the sources we saw, he saw that they all point to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The only thing we saw against it was, again, this Rebbe and Rebbe Bar Kiria. He says, we reject that, because, again, they said their piece. And then Blazer responded and said, no, it's a good thing they get a kapara, and they don't see that they responded. And then I skipped, I think, one source earlier. There's a source 23. There is a Zohar that seems to paskin like Rebbe and Rebbe Bar Kiria, that you should not be metame aretz. So he quotes a ruling, Rav Adi Yosef, finds a sefer that says whenever you have a stira between the Zohar and the Yerushalmi, you follow the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi seems to say that you should be should be buried there. So he's very much, and he quotes a whole story of T. Pesach Frank. They had a shy, interesting, good connection to Detroit about the Admor Mikarlin, the Colin, but not the one who's buried here. Another Rebbe who was buried somewhere. I don't know the whole story, but was buried apparently somewhere else in Chutz Lars, and he possibly should bring him to Eretz Yisrael. And apparently they did bring him to Eretz Yisrael. And not the Rebbe, obviously buried here, but I think an earlier one. And the Taka they brought him. He says, so you see, it's a wonderful thing to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Vad Yosef. Last points. Is there any reason, in spite of all this, maybe not to be buried? So there's a Gemara earlier in Ksuvah, Stav Ches, that this is famous and this is still impacts the Jewish world today, about a very important institution that Rabbi Gamliel made. The Gemara talks about originally they would at the base of Avel, they would drink a lot of wine. They would have like shavah brachos, like they would have asara kosos, 10 cups of wines, and they all correspond to different things. They eventually stopped doing it. Why? The Gemara says that people are getting drunk at the shiv houses. It's too much wine. But one of the cups of wine was connected to Rabbi Gamliel. It was an honor of Rabbi Gamliel. Because why? Because Rabbi Gamliel, who was Gzunite, who was a Nasi, right, at the time, he saw what was happening. He said there were people, bodies that weren't being buried. Why weren't some bodies being buried? Because some families were too embarrassed to bury their families because the people with greater means, they would spend all this money on these fancy caskets, on these fancy tachrich and burial shrouds, and now the people didn't have the money. It was a busha to them, and they were... And so he's the one who said, when I die, and he set the tone for everyone, Ad Yom Hazeh, simple funeral, simple casket, simple linen, right, tachrichen, and that's our minhag Ad Yom Hazeh. So it knows the sensitivity towards other people and the financial costs involved. So here's how I'm going to now come back to support. We're in the kolo right now, so this will be good for supporting the kolel. Last sources, source 32, last page, Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was asked the question about, apparently there was a machlokas of some brothers in a family, I think the father, someone had died, and there was all question whether or not to bury this person in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Henkin is very much opposed to burying him in Eretz Yisrael. He says, why? He says, Afil nemar sheish b'zeh eza hider. Third line. Even something there is some benefit, right? The things we talk about. There is some benefit to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Hari af al binyan beis hakneses mehudur b'yosir tzaku chazal. But even on building a beautiful shul, building a beis hakneses lohon b'ni nasad yilom b'oraisa. Hashem said, check your priorities when it comes to your how you spend your money. B'nemar zeh al gam ashirim kol shekin al tmin chavim yeshivas. Shikulan Torah. Any odea im yesh rishus levazeh's most hektish al zeh. He's concerned about the cost. The cost of burial in Eretz Yisrael. How much does it cost to be? So I called up this past week. I called Rabbi Goldfein at the Chesed this past week, and I asked him what does it cost to be buried here in Detroit. So today go to the Chesed Shalamis, to the Alan Grasher. How much does it cost? Around $9,000. Okay, we help people out; they can't afford it, but it's around $9,000. How much does it cost to be buried in Eretz? Let's say Eretz, not Har Zeisim. You know, people are buried in Eretz Achayim, right? In Beit Shemesh. About $24,000. Costs about $24,000. Like it's $11,000 just for the plot, and then the airplane is another $4,700 and something, and then you know the that doesn't include. Which the relatives that want to come for the Levaya, all the separate, you know, the plane tickets you're going to have to buy, and then the transportation, and where you're going to be sitting in Eretz Yisrael. And so Rav Henkin was sensitive to that, to that cost. And he thinks you have to be very careful in terms of priority. He says we forget that tzedakah is machaperis too, giving tzedakah. And basically he says, again, Yossi, this is good, I'm saying it right now on the kolel, he says, where should you spend your money? He says, "Haklahu mishaniach lo aviv mos." If your parents give you yerusha, osheisho mishalo harbor. Let's say yourself, you have a lot of money, and what are you going to do with it? You can't take it with you. In a rotzal avda, you don't want to lose the money. lo will give you a shot Hashem. Or chosav ba'olam hazeh zochav ra b'shiu. You'll get salvation. You spend the money, and he sends more down below. He says, I can't prevent someone from going there, but he didn't think it was the right way in terms of spending money. So where does this leave us? So what leaves us is there's different perspectives, and this clearly there's many good reasons to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Even better, everyone says is to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's tonight for sure. But if that can't happen for whatever reason, there are reasons to be certainly to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Again, you have this thing about family members, about visiting, and that's something to take into consideration. You have Henkin's general perspective, of just in terms of priorities. And one of the things also he mentioned, this connects to Rabbi Gamliel. He also says, again, it's going to become like Rabbi Gamliel's concern about, if certain people are doing it, then maybe it's going to become the new norm. And everyone's going to have to expect it to do it. We've had cases here in Detroit where, someone actually, people left in their tzavat to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but then they didn't leave any money for it. So all of a sudden the family community had to create lots of money. Maybe that money could have gone to other things. And again, that's something to consider. But the last thing is that the Meshech Chacham in Source 33, he just goes back to Yaakov Avinu where he started. He said, why did Yaakov so much want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So again, so we saw Rashi and Chazal. He says one more reason. You know why he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? Because he wanted his family to understand that although we're now in Mitzrayim and Hashem has this decree that Yadot Teidak Kigeri Yazarachah Beretz Olam Vavadum Vino Osam Abraham Yoshana, but this is not our future. Right? This is not our home. He wanted his family to understand that we're rooted in their Eretz Yisrael. We're rooted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that would be a reminder to his family to the fact that he's buried there, to understand that we need to come back home. He says at the very end, Loka Ezrachim, we're not citizens here. We get sometimes get too turned into the politics, Republicans and Democrats and voting and we're just passing through here. But our home is Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he wanted to be buried there. And I think this last source in Source 34, just to give a little nechama to people who are not buried in Eretz Yisrael, because most people can't afford it. And throughout the Doros, it was impossible. So I saw this, one of my chaverim was Rabbi Shai Shachter, Rosh Shachter's son. So I can quote this in the Tommy Minhagim. He says, "Ubesefer Medrash Talpios Os Aleph Kosov Shemati, I heard. If you put on the nifter who's being buried anywhere in the world, you put on some offer of Eretz Yisrael, nakshav kihilu hu kover mamish be'Eretz Yisrael. We consider as if you're buried in Eretz Yisrael, right? Because that's where Jews rooted. A Jew is rooted in Eretz Yisrael. So again, how you pass an halacha l'maisa? Everyone should speak to the Rav in terms of what to do, in terms of for themselves and their family. Like I just wanted to show you these different perspectives. And the last thing I'll leave you with is the Radak. Again, coming back to where we started, it's important to talk about this now and not to wait until it's too late. The Radak points out, it says, Vaikirvu, the Pasuk, Vaikirvu Yimei Yisrael Lamos, that Yaakov was nearing death. But he didn't die yet. He dies a few psukim later. A few psukim later, all of a sudden he gets sick. Hey, he told Yosef, your father is sick. So what's Vayikirvu, Yimei Yisrael Amos? He knew he wasn't going to live forever. And rather waiting until it was too late to make this, sometimes you come incapacitated. You can't make the decision. Your mental faculties are not there. You need to take care of this earlier. I'll never forget, I once was with a family. I was at the Chesed Shel Emes here in town. It was like 11:30 at night, and there was a fight broke out amongst the children where to bury the father. Because the father never told the kids, and each one had a different reason. And I called my parents. It was 12 o'clock at night. I left. I called my parents. I said, Mom and Dad, I said, this is not a pleasant conversation, but you need to decide. Maybe have some shana where you want to be buried. It was terrible. It was terrible. So if this, whether here, Eretz Yisrael, whatever it is, right, Yaakov Avinu took care of it in advance. And if someone does want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, this I always tell people. I said, if it's really where you want to be buried, so it's wonderful. Then set the money aside. Don't put the onus on your children and on the community. It's something that you should take. If you spend the money on the cruise on Pesach, so this is forever. So that's something to take care of. So again, my goal today was just to show the different approaches, and we should all have arichas yamim. And we shall be zocha very soon, everyone, for Tchias HaMeisim.